A deeper dive into Acts 2:42 to 47, what true belonging to the church looks like. As Christians, we've all pondered what it really means to belong to a church. Is it about showing up on Sundays, enjoying the music, or expecting the church to cater to our preferences, like teaching our kids, brewing our coffee, or preaching in just the style and length we like? In a consumer-driven world, it's easy to view the church as a service provider designed to meet our needs. But Acts 2:42-47 paints a radically different picture. This passage, detailing the birth of the Christian church right after Pentecost, shows us a community built not on self-centered expectations, but on sacrificial devotion. It's the household of God, where members aren't consumers, but devoted participants. As we unpack this scripture, let's explore what it teaches us about our relationship to the church today, challenging us to move from entitlement to commitment. The text from Acts 2:42-47 reads, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." These verses describe the immediate aftermath for those who believed the gospel, were baptized, and joined the early church. The key word here is devoted, a term implying loyalty, faithfulness, and an ongoing commitment that's the antithesis of consumerism. It's not a casual involvement, but a deep, unbreakable allegiance. Before diving into the specifics, pause and ask yourself, what am I truly devoted to? My comfort, career, hobbies, or phone? Does a daily walk with the Lord, discipling my children, spreading the gospel, or investing in my church even make the list? Acts 2 urges us to examine our priorities, revealing four interlocking activities that define this devoted church. These aren't isolated silos, but interconnected expressions of faith, and they inform how we, as modern Christians, should relate to our local body. First, belonging to a church means devoting ourselves to sound teaching. Verse 42 highlights that the early believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Why is this listed first? Because Jesus prioritized it, commanding the apostles in Matthew 28, verse 20, to teach disciples to obey all he had commanded. The apostles weren't innovators, they were witnesses, relaying Christ's teachings under the Holy Spirit's guidance. As Jesus promised in John 14, 26, "When the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." And in John 15, 26 to 27, the Spirit bears witness to Christ, enabling the apostles to do the same. Their teaching came in two forms: public gospel proclamation, e.g., Peter's sermon in Acts 2, or later in Acts 3, 10, 14, and 17, calling for repentance and faith, and private instruction for believers, like Paul's year-long teaching in Antioch, Acts 11:26, or his 18 months in Corinth, Acts 18:11. Rooted in Scripture and centered on Christ, this mirrored Jesus' own pattern. Public sermons like the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7, and private teachings on prayer, Matthew 6, or the Holy Spirit, John 14-16. What did this look like practically? Jesus' example in Luke 4:16-21 shows the pattern. He read from Isaiah 61, explained it, and applied it as fulfilled in himself. Paul echoed this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, "Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Read the text, explain the doctrine, urge obedience. This is faithful preaching." For us today, without living apostles, we devote ourselves to their teaching through the Bible. The Old Testament remains authoritative, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, and the New Testament preserves apostolic authority. Matthew and John as direct witnesses, Mark as Peter's memoirs, Luke acts from eyewitnesses, Paul's letters, Romans, Philemon, Peter's epistles, John's letters, Jude under James's influence, and Revelation by John, When we gather weekly for faithful exposition of Scripture, we're continuing this 2,000-year tradition. Devotion means consistent attendance, not sporadic convenience, allowing God's Word to shape every aspect of life: doctrine, conscience, lifestyle, parenting, marriage, and more, under Christ's Lordship. This builds maturity in the church, as Ephesians 4:11-16 describes. Second, belonging means devoting ourselves to fellowship. Verse 42 lists fellowship next, a word often diluted today to mean coffee chats or potlucks. Biblically, from the Greek koinonia, it means holding something in common, primarily Christ, and expressing it through shared activities. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:9 that we're called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. John adds in 1 John 1:3 that proclaiming Christ invites fellowship with apostles and ultimately with the Father and Son. Since we share one God, Spirit, hope, Lord, faith, baptism, and Father, Ephesians 4:6, fellowship with other Christians is inescapable. It's not based on hobbies, but on shared salvation, forgiveness, spiritual battles, gifts, mission, and Savior. Expressions vary: financial aid for the poor, Romans 15:26, supporting missionaries, Philippians 1:5, 4:15, partnering in ministry, 2 Corinthians 6:14, participating in the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 10:16, praying, encouraging, singing, and confronting one another in Christ. In Acts 2:44-46, this looked like being together, sharing possessions voluntarily, not forced socialism. Note personal ownership in Acts 5:4, attending the temple daily, and breaking bread in homes with glad hearts. They sold belongings to meet needs, embodying generosity as in 1 Timothy 6:18. Be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. This counters consumerism, its costly love. A first century philosopher, Aristides, defended Christianity to Emperor Hadrian by describing believers' fellowship. They love one another, care for widows and orphans, share without boasting, welcome strangers as brothers, minister to the imprisoned, and fast to feed the needy. In our churches, this means showing up, opening homes, giving generously, bearing burdens, and praying together, not just socializing, but truly sharing life in Christ. Third, we devote ourselves to the Lord's Supper, or breaking of bread, verse 42. Interwoven with fellowship, this was part of shared meals, pausing to remember Christ's body and blood. Paul clarifies in 1 Corinthians 11:23-26, "The Lord Jesus took bread. This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Observations: it's a command, not optional. Symbols of Christ's sacrifice, a reminder of substitutionary atonement, 1 Peter 3:18, a collective proclamation of the gospel, temporary until Christ's return, and designed for the baptized church community, not solitary practice. Devotion here keeps the cross central, fostering unity in the gospel as we await eternity. Fourth, we devote ourselves to prayer, verse 42. Modeled by Jesus, praying at baptism, Luke 3:21, in wilderness, Luke 5:16, on mountains, Luke 9:28, for Peter, Luke 22:32, in Gethsemane, Luke 22:41, and echoed in Acts, pre-Pentecost devotion, Acts 1:14, for boldness, Acts 4, over deacons, Acts 6, in prison crises, Acts 12, for missionaries, Acts 13, the sick, Acts 28, and farewells. Prayer expresses dependence. Its absence signals independence. In our churches, prioritize prayer meetings, groups, and spontaneous prayers, normalizing it as a core of communal life. Acts 2:42-47 is the church's baby picture. Essential features like devotion to teaching, fellowship, Lord's Supper, and prayer that must never be outgrown, even as the church matures, seen in epistles. God used this young community mightily. The Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved, Acts 2:47. The church remains his plan for evangelism, growth, and gospel display. Fellow Christians, will we be consumers or devoted? Let's commit to these activities, transforming our relationship to the church from serve me to serve together in Christ. This devotion honors God and draws others to salvation.